It's my great privilege today to talk to you on Father's Day. I've got my badge on. My daughters gave me a whacking badge. And it says, Happy Father's Day to a great dad. And that means so much to any father. And so I'm going to speak to you this morning from a very well-known passage of Scripture. We call it the Lord's Prayer. I won't be able to speak all of it. I just want to take the introduction, the first line, really, where Jesus, when his disciples have asked him to show them how to pray, he says, pray, our Father. Our Father, who art in heaven. So, dads, who are out there today, let me just, by introduction, say I feel as never before this is such an important subject for our society. The MP, Ian Duncan Smith, said and recorded as saying, Britain is facing a crisis of fatherlessness. The Centre for Social Justice has now told us that there is over 1 million children in the UK growing up without a father. The Times newspaper said a man becomes a father when he takes responsibility for raising his children. Any man can create a child, but a father will not forsake his child. A man becomes a father when he not only sires a child, but also takes care of his child. Any man can donate his seed, but fathers nurture and raise their seed. I was reading recently an article by a very famous actor. Some of you will know his name, Gene Hackman, and in all kinds of films. But he recalled the day that his father walked out on their family when he was 13. His father in the car gave him a drive-by wave. And here's what he said. It's a ghost in my life that never seems to fade. And so before I get into this message on our Father today, I just want to, as somebody who has brought up children, say this to you. Here's what I've learned. Don't just give your children things, give them yourself. They would rather have your time than your treats. Apparently, everything about relationship in life is normally grasped by the age of 12. So this little acrostic has often helped me. I don't know who gave it to me, but I've kept it. Dads, D-A-D-S. Direction, availability, discipline, spirituality. Availability is the first, otherwise the others will never take place. And I just want to encourage all our churches this morning to pray for our fathers. We're not perfect, and we need God's help. But hopefully this morning, as I speak, we will begin to understand a little more about the one who says he is our Father. And I've found this, that the more I get to know Father God, I can become a better father to my children. So this wonderful subject, our Father, our Father. First, let me say this. The fatherhood of God is the first designation. He's the Father over all. The Father over all. That's how the Bible reveals him. But what does that mean? Fatherhood. Well, first it means that I understand that he created me. That I've been made in his image. Listen what Isaiah 54 verse 8 says. You, O Lord, are our Father. We are the clay and you are the potter. And we are all the work of your hand. Malachi 2 verse 10 says, have we not all one Father? Has not one God created us? Paul in 1 Corinthians 8, he says, there's one God, the Father, from whom are all things and for whom we exist. In Ephesians 4, verse 6, it says, one God and Father over us all. So he's revealed himself, his designation as Father. First speaks of this fatherhood, the originator, the creator, the sustainer, the giver of life, and yet the one who cares and provides. Perhaps that's demonstrated clearly in the Old Testament, where we see the nation of Israel is called his son. Exodus 4, verse 22 and 23, it says, for you are the children of the Lord. He is your father. But this fatherhood was not just for Israel. This fatherhood is for us all, for all mankind. And he's revealed as a loving God seeking to bring men into that fellowship with him as their father. And that's possible because he's made it so. We are capable of having a relationship with the Father. When God created Adam, the key thing we see in the book of Genesis is how God used to come down in the evening and have fellowship with the creation that he'd made. 1 Thessalonians 5 tells us how that's possible, because he made us spirit, soul, and body. Three parts to mankind, to a human being. And that spirit man is able to commune with God, the Bible tells us, who is spirit. So he's the Father of all in terms of universal brotherhood. Everyone is capable of knowing God. All can know him. Sadly, not all do. But we can't blame him for that. Isaiah says, we've separated ourselves from him. And because of that, because of our sin, because each one of us has followed Adam's footsteps. We can't just blame him. We ourselves, we know we've done wrong things. We're not perfect fathers. We're not perfect people in any way. We've separated ourselves by our sins. And so we as fallen earthly fathers can only try to mirror what God really is. Even in Matthew 7, Jesus says, even you earthly fathers know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit? So we are seen to have an ability as an image that was placed in us to be like our Father, but it's been spoiled. But he is able to give to us that understanding which can change our lives, man, woman, whoever. He says that we are valuable to him because of that. Jesus says he created all things, but he says you're much more valuable than sparrows. God places a value on every man. The Old Testament again tells us that he knows our needs. Psalm 27, it says, when father and mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. When there's a human failure, he said there's a father who still loves you. Psalm 68, verse 5, it says, he's the father of the fatherless. It's as though God looks down and says, if man had only done what I intended them to do, if they'd only become what I intended them to be, then they would love as they were supposed to. But I can't stop loving. I'm a father to the fatherless. He knows and looks upon the need of our humanity. Psalm 103, verse 13, as a father pities his children, so the Lord takes pity on those who fear him. So we need to grasp that first and foremost, because there is some people say, well, we're all God's children. And in that brotherhood understanding of all mankind, that's true. As our Father, he's created us and sustains us. But you know what? God didn't want us just to know that Old Testament picture of him. He wanted to demonstrate the fullness of who he is. And that's why Jesus came. Jesus came to reveal a greater and complete dimension. Says, oh, you might have that right designation. You might know him as Father, as your creator, but that's not relationship. And Jesus very clearly comes to reveal to us the Father in all his fullness. See, Jesus didn't really reveal the Father to us. That was in the Old Testament. But first and foremost, he came and said, hey, listen, he's my Father. I've known him since before the world began. I've always been there with him. He's my Father. See, just over on my right here, me and Mary have pictures of our fathers. I lost mine tragically when I was 17. He was too young. But if anybody asks me about him, I can tell you about him. I can tell you what he did. He was in the RAF training to be a pilot. He was then came out, and because of his injuries, he had to become a cobbler. He became the best cobbler. He did all the work for disabled people for their shoes to walk. He loved children. His greatest joy was to bring great big trays of cakes in when we had children around the house. He just loved. So when I think of my father, hey, listen, you might think you know him, but I knew him. He was my father. And when Jesus came, he said, listen, first and foremost, uniquely, I am God the Son. I am the Son of the Father. And I have come to reveal him in the fullest way that he wants to be revealed to your life and to my life. So it's not so much a new term, Father, but Jesus was filling an old term with new meaning. This is what the Father is like. The Father's full purpose for mankind, I have come to reveal. I am his Son. In fact, it became the favorite theme of Jesus. It's interesting that Jesus never really used any of the Old Testament names that God gave to Israel. He just kept on with this one name. Father. In fact, let me give you some statistics. At least 181 times Jesus said that he is the Father. In 107 times in John's Gospel, he says Father. He says it 52 times between John 14 and John 17. He says it 17 times in the Sermon on the Mount. What he was trying to get over to the disciples and in his message when he preached, it was this, that there is a Father in heaven. I've come to reveal everything about him. In fact, John 17, verse 26 says, I have declared unto them your name. Matthew 11, it says, all things are delivered unto me by my Father. And no one knows the Son but the Father. Neither knows any man the Father except the Son. And he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. If Jesus had only come to be our sacrifice and savior from sin, why did God let him live for over 30 years. I want to suggest to you this morning, it was simply that so that every time we looked at Jesus, we could see the Father. Jesus actually said, "He who has seen me has seen the Father. We are one." And Jesus lived as the Son to show us that we also, and here's the glorious truth that the New Testament, the Gospels, Paul's epistles repeat over and over again, that anyone now can be a son and daughter of God. That we can be that, sons and daughters of the living God. We can know the Father in as personal a way as Jesus knows the Father. That he wants to be our Father. John 1:18 says, "The one who is at the Father's side," that's Jesus, "has made him known." So those references in the Old Testament showed us something of his fatherhood and that designation. But Jesus comes and said, "But there's a great new dimension that I've come. And when you look at me and when you see what I do, you will see what the Father's intention was for every person. Everyone can be a son and daughter of the living God. And I've come to make that possible." Hebrews puts it like this, that his delight is to take many sons to glory, to change our destination, to end our failure, to end our struggles to become something in our own ability. Wonderful abilities God has given mankind. But the greatest that Jesus brought to us is that now we have the ability to come to know our Heavenly Father. So what a delight when Jesus is asked by his disciples to teach them to pray. Oh, he said, "Our Father." Know him as your Father. And what did Jesus reveal? What was this dimension? Let me say it was this. It was the disposition of the Father. The disposition of the Father towards me and towards you. That's so important because there are other gods that are worshipped in the world and all kinds of things, and we don't really know what their disposition is. Some religions, you never know what God's feeling like on any one day. But I want to tell you, Jesus said, "This is the disposition of the Father to you, 100% never changing." Jesus, who knew his Father before creation, he says this, "This is what he's like." And if you believe that I've come to reveal that to you, if you believe that I've come to make that way possible through the cross, through dying and paying for our sins, that a way is opened now for you to know what he's like. He says, "I know what he's like, but I want you to know what he's like." So in John 1:12 it says, "All who receive him and believe in Jesus' name, he gave the right to become the children of God." I was reading the other day in Mark's Gospel, chapter 2 and verse 5, where four men bring the man who's paralyzed to Jesus, rip the roof open and drop him down at Jesus' feet. And God just really touched my heart with something Jesus said. The very words Jesus says to him. He doesn't say, "Oh, your sins are forgiven." No, before that, he says one little word. He says, "Son, your sins are forgiven." It's melted my heart because I realized that Jesus looked at this man just like me, just like maybe you, where we've messed up, where we've done things that we shouldn't have done, where we've been far less than what God intended. Jesus looked at this man paralyzed through things that he'd done in his life. And instead of saying, "You sinner," he said, "Son, your sins are forgiven. Son, your sins are forgiven." I want to declare this morning, anybody who puts their trust in God's Son and what he did for them at Calvary can know that God looks at you, and before he sees all your failings, he still sees every potential that he created you to be. He says, son, that's the possibility. That's what I've made you. And Jesus healed that man. And I want to say I'm so thankful, as are many who are listening to me today. They'll know in their imperfection, we've known the healing hand of Jesus upon our lives. And we're so grateful that he saw the potential in us. And he called us sons. Your sins are forgiven. So Jesus wants us to see that life is never as it's meant to be until we realize that we can be sons of the Father. Paul perhaps emphasizes this in Romans 8 when he says, when a person receives Jesus, the Spirit of God comes into their life. And when the Spirit of God comes into their life, what happens? Well, he says the Spirit of God convinces us, assures us that he is our Father. And Paul says, we call him Abba, the common word in Arabic that means daddy. This intimacy, this closeness, oh yes, his fatherhood over all things. But now, Paul Randerson, anyone listening can say daddy, can know him. Paul in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 18, he says, I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters. 1 John 3, John says this, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. That word bestowed means lavish, lavishes it upon us. I like to read C.S. Lewis, and I love this quote that I'm going to read to you. God, who needs nothing, loving into existence, holy, superfluous creatures, in order that he may love and perfect them. God did not make us because he was bored, lonely, or had run out of things to do. He created us to be the objects of his love. Sometimes our actions make us unlovely, but we are never unloved. Because God loves us, we have value, and nobody can take that value away. God's love revealed at Calvary fastens itself onto flawed creatures like us, and for reasons none of us ever quite can figure out, he makes us precious and valued beyond calculation. This is love beyond reason, and this is the love with which God the Father loves us. Wow. He lavishes his love on us as his sons. He has a plan for us. He's a father who gives good gifts. He's a father who wants us to know he's given us the kingdom. And when this life ends, Jesus says, I'm going a place, going away to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house, there's a place for you. Wow. Let me say this morning, on this Father's Day, your Father's waiting to welcome you home. We know, as we've heard, read about the lovely story in Luke 15, the prodigal son. I think it was Max Lucado who said this. The son was making his way home, burning with shame. But the father was looking for him, aching with love. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. But through him, you can come home. Through him, you can come to the Father. You can know the sonship that he wants for your life. He's calling as to sonship today, to be remade in the image of him who created us. I want to end today with a story that still touches my heart very deeply. And perhaps it's only on Father's Day I get to mention it from time to time. Listen to this little story as I read it to you. There was a Mexican father residing in Mexico City who became estranged from his teenage son, Paco. As is often the case, words were said in anger by both father and son, and rebellion eventually grew into resentment. Paco finally left home and lived on his own for several years. At first, the father's heart was hardened and bitter about his son having run away. Yet as a few years passed, the father's heart softened and he desired to see his son again. But so much time had now passed that the father had lost track of him completely and didn't know how to reach him. Unable to contact him, he decided upon a course of action he hoped that would work. On a certain day, he ran an ad in the city newspaper, which simply read, "Paco, this is Dad. I love you and want you to come home. If you happen to read this, please meet me at the city courthouse tomorrow at 1 p.m. The next day, the father went to the courthouse to see if his son had read the ad. He found that the place was packed with hundreds of young men, all named Paco, waiting for their fathers. I want to say today, the father wants to send you a message. I'm waiting for you. I believe, just like this story, there are thousands of people, no matter what life has dealt them, there's something inside saying, I was made for more than this. I was made to know my Creator. Well, Jesus has revealed him, and he calls you to sonship today by putting your faith in what he did for you. There's so many Pacos out there. Well, the Father created you. Jesus has revealed him to you. All you have to do today to come home is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Your sonship is waiting. I know today there may be people listening saying, you don't know how hurt I am, what kind of father I had. You may be a failing father who wish you could change things. You may be hurting over a father you've recently lost. Whatever the situation, I want to say today, if you don't know the disposition of the Father, you'll never find the healing you need. But when you understand his disposition, there's more than a God who's just Father of all. Jesus has shown you a dimension of him, and he's shown you his disposition toward you. It's time to come home. Our Father is waiting for you. Please leave a message if this word has spoken to you today, or if you need us to call you. However, I pray in Jesus' name that you will come to know on this Father's Day, our Heavenly Father. God bless you.